You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, Trade Pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with your esteemed hosts, myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov.
In today's episode, we're going to be discussing why it's so important to trade what you see and not what you want to happen. We got some great discussion points for you guys today, as well as some exercises from today's session. Today's session was actually quite interesting, and I think it really relates to today's discussion. So you guys will often hear traders, you know, throwing around the term trade what you see, not what you think. You know, trade what you see, not what you want to happen. The reality is that most traders do the opposite. All right, most traders get into trades because of what they think will happen. And this is, at the end of the day, driven by emotions and wishful thinking. And also another term we love here at Trade Pro Academy, which is called hopium. All right, and these are not where you want to be when you're executing trades. You want to be doing it based on what you're seeing and not on what you want to happen. Now, before we go into today's discussion points, a couple things we want to knock off the bat here. First and foremost, reviews. All right, this is a new format in which we are shouting out the reviews that are coming in for this podcast. And so today we want to shout out to JJ, who left us a great, great review, and it goes along these lines. A gold mine, a huge thank you for the wealth of knowledge shared. And the review in itself goes, I haven't been a trader long, but in my short profitable history as a member of TPA, I have been nothing short of amazed by the quality of content provided on all outlets. I debated multiple available trading courses, and to be honest, didn't have the slightest clue how much knowledge I lacked. This podcast and the YouTube channel made me a believer in their methods and turned me into a member of the community. Why? I've been a big believer in mindset as a huge factor in achieving many of my personal goals, wingsuiting, owning businesses, good relationships over the years. After listening to the episodes here, intertwine real trading strategy with the focus also on mindset, NLP, and gratitude, I knew I found a community that was right for me. George and his team have been available to answer any questions that I've had so far. This is the podcast you should check out if you're interested in developing as a trader. I plan to be on the podcast in the future to tell my success story as a crypto and future trader.
I love that.
What about you? That was a great review. And again, shout out to JJ for taking the time to, you know, log into iTunes and submit that. If you guys want to have your review shouted out on this podcast, make sure to head over to iTunes, drop us a rating and review, and you might be next.
I love it, man. JJ, thank you so much. I really appreciate that first and foremost. You know, it's really important for people to leave their feedback. Super happy with your success. And you also make me realize how boring my life is. Wingsuiting? Man, that's the ultimate risk. You must not be afraid of any position size on the ES or futures trading. Proud of you, brother. Love to see your progress. I know who you are in the community, and I'm honored that you're with us, and great work. Keep it up. Love this.
Exactly. And so let's get into the discussion points here. Did we have a quick message for the audience?
We do have a quick message. Today we're going to be talking about trade what you see, not what you think. So it is important for you to understand that there is a recognition or pattern recognition skill that you could have. It's acquired. Being able to see things in real time is one of the greatest challenges that new traders have. And the way to kind of combat that or to learn what you're seeing is to learn the patterns. They are predictable, they are repeatable, and they are the basis on which you can build your success. So join us at TradeProAcademy.com and you can have access to either our futures and or options course and learn the patterns that you get to see in the market so you know what to do and what specific actions to take for each pattern. That in itself is the skill set. So trade what you see, not what you think. And you could do that by heading over to www.tradeproacademy.com for more information. And now, back to the show.
Almost back to the show. The other thing that I wanted to bring up for you guys here is, you know, on the topic of community, we have made a public community available to you guys where we post our daily analysis, daily trade ideas, even tips on psychology, what the market's doing, and how you should be approaching the market. You guys can check that out, community.tradeproacademy.com. Don't worry about writing it down. It'll be at the bottom of the show notes in the resources section for you guys to check out. And now,
back to the show. We'll coordinate that a little better.
We got to work on that a little bit. But back to the discussion here, and the topic being trade what you see, not what you want to happen. And what we're going to be discussing here is the reasons why it's important to trade what you see, and often why traders end up taking the positions where they want something to happen as opposed to actually trading what they see. And this really goes back to psychology. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. Right? And in my experience as a trader, what I've learned through doing a lot of personal development work is that the subconscious mind, all right, has pre-written scripts based on your value system. And effectively, you know, if you listen to, I believe it was really the first episode of this podcast, of the Mind Over Markets podcast, you know, we discuss how the subconscious mind takes control of all of this, all of the decisions. 99% of your decisions are made on the back of the subconscious mind. And what the subconscious mind does is it deletes, distorts, and generalizes information. All right. And so oftentimes, you know, you could have several traders looking at the same chart, and each one of those traders will see opportunities or will see risks based on, you know, their subconscious mind, on the things that they've seen, they've experienced in the past. And all of those things are going to come forward in the decision making in the real time. All right. And so a lot of the times when we do take positions, or when we consider taking positions, we are effectively filtering what we know based on our values. All right. And there's, you know, a numerous amount of scenarios where this can be present. You know, one that's really quite often seen in the markets is generally around, you know, breakouts of tops or bottoms. Oftentimes what will happen, let's say you're sitting in the market waiting to put on a position, and the market all of a sudden starts to rally. It starts to rally higher and higher and higher. And you're thinking in the back of your head, man, you know, if only I was in on this trade, how much money I could have made. And then you convince yourself that I want to be part of this rally. I want it to go up a little bit more. So you get long. All right. And despite not having a trade entry or any trade criteria to get long, you get long simply because you start calculating how much money you could have made and how much you want to make. You jump in on that trade with the hopes that the rally will continue. All right. And you know, this is one of those cases where you're not trading what you're seeing, you're trading what you want to see happen. You want to see the market continue higher because of what it has already done. And so that is one of the reasons that you'll get into that trade. Is that a reason to be getting into a trade, you might ask? And the honest answer is no.
No.
It's no.
Long no here. No.
Long no here. And Georgie, why might that be the case?
Well, so here's the thing. So first of all, hopium is a very addictive substance. I think it was Stephen Box in our community who termed that, you know, hopium. And some interesting things happen in your brain. So I think one part I wanted to circle back a little bit on here, Marky, is when you mentioned that the subconscious mind deletes, distorts, and organizes information in particular ways. So, you know, think about that. That means that whatever your thoughts are, it's freeing to the human mind to think, right? And the reason is because you have an illusion of control. Mm-hmm. You're controlling your thoughts. You're like, hey, this is unique. This is my own space. This is an area where I'm the creator and the master, and no one can infiltrate the space. But the reality is that what you're thinking is a filtered version, distorted version of what's really going on. You know, there's so many bits of information that no one, two human beings in the same moment, neither of them have really experienced reality. And I think that's the mind-blowing part, is that what you're thinking, while you're under the impression that this is organic, this is your control, it's logical, you're rational. These are where your engineers, doctors, lawyers, you know, have a bit of a harder time with the market, because the the onus to think the right thing is so present. But think about this. Anytime you're thinking, you're filtering raw information and you're missing reality. So there isn't that much of a freeing sense of thinking. Thinking is actually a prison cell. It's a prison cell to what you've already programmed in your mind, because your thoughts aren't natural. Your thoughts are based on what you've programmed in your subconscious mind. So that's why when you're trading and you see a move that's gone up, let's say 30 points, all right, the human being in you that missed the bottom, you say, hey, I'm going to buy this, but you find a reason to talk yourself out of the trade at the low, right? It rallies up 15, 20 points. And now the only reason that you want to get long is because now you've seen it work. You're like, hey, it's gone up 15 points. If I was long, I would have made this much money. And now that it's gone 15, surely it could go another 15. And the reality is that's how you end up buying a market top, right? Yeah. Because you perceive it to be less risky. Because you've already recognized the move you're looking for to happen is happening, you perceive that as less risk. Where in reality, the fact is it's the most risky when it's already moved. And I think that's why, Marky, to answer your question, you don't really want to be getting long as this market's already moved up. You want to be in a position to be able to assess the real time, to see the pattern that leads to the move before it happens, and that's when you get long.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, one of the other, I guess, sort of biases that you get when trading the markets is, you know, seeing that perfect setup. All right, yep. Seeing your perfect setup, you know, you go through your analysis, you're following your rules, you end up picking a trade to execute on that, you know, fits your criteria to the T, and then it turns into a loss.
Right.
Oh, no. The loss, right? No matter how good that analysis is, no matter how well you follow the rules, the important understanding is that even the best setups will fail, all right? And so even though you see what's happening, you get into that trade and it might fit all of your criteria, all of a sudden you want the trade to work out because of how nice it looks.
Right.
The reality being that it's just another trade. It's just a probability. All right. And whether it works out or not, you have no control over it, regardless of how good it looks. Right. And so this is another one of those instances where you might be trading what you want to happen, not what you're actually seeing happen. All right. There was a situation today, trading crude oil, you know, myself specifically, the market was showing a little bit of weakness off of the open. All right, it had a little bit of a bid to start the session, showed some weakness, and I was looking for a continuation trade, right? And that's generally what I like to look for. I like momentum and I like continuations, all right? And continuations for me means, you know, we break a fresh low on that pullback. I'm going to be looking to get short for a continuation to and through that new low. What ended up happening was, you know, it was a level where the open just so happened to align with the VWAP, volume weighted average price, for those that might not be familiar, right? Oftentimes that is a prime location. I love open and VWAP trades, especially when they're close together. All right.
Delicious. I'm getting excited as you describe this trade.
Delicioso, right? So 9 times out of 10, I would take that trade. The difference today was what was actually happening into that level. All right. We're order flow traders. All right. We trade order flow here at Trade Pro Academy, on the futures front and on the options front. You know, me being a futures trader, I'm looking at the order flow as this thing's climbing up into the level. We get the rejection I'm looking for, but what am I actually seeing in real time? All right. I want to take that short. I've been waiting for a little bit to actually qualify this trade. It's finally gotten to my level. Now that it's here, do I just take the trade because I want it to go lower? No, you've got to trade what you see. And what I was seeing today was the opposite of what I want to see to get into the trade. All right, I waited patiently for the market to get into my zone. Check. I waited for, you know, the reversal. Check. Looked at order flow. Was it confirming my idea? No, it wasn't. I was seeing buy imbalances showing up where I should be seeing sell imbalances. All right. And so as a result of that, I did not take the short trade. And for me, it's a good thing because the market kept going higher. All right. And so this is the important thing, is even though you've got the setup, even though you've got the criteria, even though you've got, you know, you're following your rules, you're trying to qualify the trade, 9 times out of 10, what's going to happen is you might be You know, that might be your only trade of the day, and maybe you've been waiting an hour or two for that setup to form. Now that it's gotten there, you kind of you talk to yourself internally. You get that internal dialogue going. You know, I've been waiting for a whole day. I got to get a trade going. I got to make money. Now it's in my zone. You know, it could be better, but I want to take this trade. I need to make this money. And now you're taking the trade based on what you want to see happen instead of what's actually happening in front of you. And I can't tell you how many times, you know, earlier on in my career, I'd be the one taking those trades for those reasons exactly, because I've been patient. I've been disqualifying trades left, right, and center. Now it's finally here. Now it's got to work because of all the reasons before. You know, I've been waiting patiently. I've been this and that. The market doesn't give a crap, to be honest. How long you've been waiting, you know, what you want to do, whether you want to make money or not. The market is what the market is, all right? That's what it is at the end of the day. And the market is always right. And that's something super important, which is further reason why you should be trading what you see and not what you want to happen.
You know, it's gold there too, Mark. You just mentioned it with your trade this morning. I think traders, this is lost on them, newer traders, is that the difference between a more experienced trader such as yourself that's been doing it for a long time and a new one is that, you know, there's something to be said about missed trades. So a new trader will try every single opportunity to have this urge to be in the market, whereas a more experienced trader could have taken the same trade that was a loser but disqualified it. So it isn't that they don't lose money, it's just that they don't lose often because they disqualify trades that doesn't fit their plan. And so what you did there with order flow is you removed one of the losers. And when you remove one of the losers, you give yourself a chance to actually be a winner. And not only that, it's not just money you lose in the business. That's the least of your concern. It's every trade that you put creates a pattern, that creates an expectation, that creates self-sabotage potentially. So, you know, by trading what you see, that for you to be able to see that, hey, this is a level I want to sell, but suddenly there's a lot of market buying, which is what a buy and balance is, you're not fighting for your bias or belief. You're allowing real-time information to really dictate what you're going to do. And you remove the loser, which in my books is just as good as clocking a winner. Yep. It won't show on your P&L. I think the biggest skill is to avoid losses, and the biggest skill doesn't show up on your account balance. I think that's what should be a revelation to you in trading. So you're not going to see your missed trades that would have been losers, right? And that helps you build up your P&L. So trade what you see. That's what the art is all about. And like you said, Mark, the market is always greater than us. And I find the people that struggle with that concept are the ones that come in with ego. Right? Mm-hmm. You come in, you're like, oh, well, I have enough money. You know, somebody asked me, how much money do you need to move a market? And I'm like, you're not going to move it. And if you do, then you're just ego trading. The question shouldn't be, how much do I need to move a market? The question should be is, you know, how comfortable am I putting certain size on? So the market's always greater than you. And if you have a problem admitting that statement, it's not your strategy that's not working. It's your mindset.
Exactly. And, you know, further to this point of, you know, that scenario I kind of described earlier where you do your analysis, you're following the rules, the setup is perfect, you get in, and then the market hands you a loss, right? Again, another experience from yesterday, right? Yesterday, I don't recall the level exactly on the ES futures, but we did have a pretty decent little sell-off. And I remember it really, really looked like a prime order flow setup. Yeah. It was exactly what I look for on any of my trades, you know, almost too perfect to be true. And so I took the trade because I was trading what I saw. All right. And it goes back to, you know, to what George just mentioned as far as, you know, being experienced and disqualifying it. So I got in the position and knowing what the trade looks like, having done that trade, you know, hundreds, probably thousands of times at this point, I generally know what the follow through should look like and how quickly it should come about, right? And so while I was in the trade, it was a great setup. The order flow was telling me something different, all right? While I was in the trade, you know, generally if I get in that specific setup, the next rotation is generally, if it's going to be a good trade, it goes. It doesn't spend any time wasting, not that it wastes time, but it doesn't spend any time meandering about. It's often a quick trade. The reason being, I trade against trap traders. So when you got trap traders trying to get out of a position, they don't really take their time with it. They want to get out aggressively.
There's a fire in the building and one exit.
Exactly, right? And so knowing that, knowing what the setup looks like, the market was looking like it was going to go, but then all of a sudden, the next rotation hits me with some aggressive sell imbalances. And instead of sitting there and waiting, hoping that the trade's going to go my way, you trade what you see. I scratched it. And again, I'm not saying this to, you know, pat myself on the back. Great job. You know what you're doing. The real point behind this is that I scratched that trade because of what I was seeing at the time. And then ironically enough, probably about half an hour to 45 minutes later, around 1 p.m. in the session, I caught the same trade, just about the same level. This time it worked out. All right. And so this is one of those reasons why you got to trade what you see and not take things personally. Right. Yeah, I think that's super important because, you know, had I waited all day for that trade, taken the trade, and then it goes as a loser, a lot of times people will take that personally and be like, you know what? My self-worth is tied to the result of my trades. Right. And you can take that trade, you can get upset about it, be like, man, this really sucks. Now I'm going to short it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And you go the other way and get pounded that way.
And then you get pounded the other way, right? So very, very important that each trade is just a probability. That's all it is. There's no, what's the right word to use? It's not tied to your worth. It's not tied to whether you're a good trader or not, the result of the trade. It is literally just a moment where, based on your analysis, there's a greater probability of one thing happening than the other. If it doesn't, it's just probabilities. It's got nothing to do with how you analyze a trade, sometimes it has to do with how you follow the rules. But at the end of the day, it's just a probability, right? And so that's what we're trying to get at. Trade what you see, not what you want to happen. Because what you want to happen, like G mentioned, that's your ego. All right. And ego gets you killed in this industry. Whereas being able to, you know, get into a trade, see that it's not working the way you know it should be based off, you know, your track record of what that setup looks like, it's a lot easier than to not be tied to the result of that trade and to be able to get out of it if you have to and take a small, you know, I think I took one tick on three lots. So like $40. Whereas if I had taken the full loss and hoped that it would work out and taken the full loss, you know, that would have been, I'd say, in the neighborhood of 200, you know, $300 of a loss. So little things like that will help you go a long way on your journey to profitable trading when you can actually take what the market's giving you and trade off of that instead of what you want it to do.
You said a lot of gold there, a lot of gold nuggets, Mark, you sprinkled. So thank you for sharing that. And again, you know, it goes back to people don't see the losses that you don't take.
Yeah.
But those are the most important. And one thing I wanted to mention too is with order flow, being able to see orders. And if you're wondering what order flow is, in a couple episodes, we got some great guests. We're going to do the order flow convention, the Futures Order Flow Meeting Committee, FOMC. I don't know anyone else with that name. But I was going to mention, when you're reading order flow and you know every single order, how it moves through the book, if it's aggressive buying, selling, etc., that's what gives you that real-time edge, the ability to analyze real-time price. It's the difference between making a well-timed, risk-adjusted opportunity, a trade that you time extreme. Like Mark said, usually when he's right, it moves pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't move where you get in, because you're an order flow trader, you start to think, hey man, this is a good time to trim and cut my loss. This one isn't going to work out. But what I was going to tell you is, order flow is the difference between having to predict where the market's going to go and having to time when to put in the trade. Because with order flow, oftentimes when you get in, it moves very quickly. And this should be freeing to you, because what do you mean? I thought you had to know where the market's going to go to make money. The business is not predicting, all right? And that's why somebody who takes a loss and then uses as a reflection of their ability that says, I lost this trade, I suck, I'm stupid, you know, and uses this as ways to diminish their confidence, the reason is because you're still trying to predict the market. Right, you haven't accepted the fact you're not bigger than the market, you're not better than the market, and you can't actually know where it's going to go with certainty. And once you let go of these things, this is what order flow helps you do, because you're so real-time focused, you don't have to predict, you're just reassessing probabilities in the real time. Your timing gets better, your entries come with less risk, you could size up your trades more, you get paid more consistently, you build a career out of it versus having to predict. Because when you predict, the only time you can make money is when you're right, right? With order flow, you could be dead wrong and still make money, or at the very least, not lose any. And again, that doesn't show up on your statement. So it's hard for you to quantify that, which is why you should be trading order flow, is that if you heard that and that doesn't excite you, I got nothing else for you. It kind of sucks because I'm all out of...
It's a wrap. Yeah. It's a wrap at that point.
Roll the outro.
That's it. And really the... Another one of the psychological biases that can really explain how we're hardwired to make assumptions is that anchoring bias. All right. And this is one I actually fell into last Friday when the S&P raged on to new highs. All right. And it was one of those sessions where the market was just continued running higher and was just making super shallow pullbacks. And every time it started to slow down, you know, I was anchoring. Granted, I didn't take any trades on the ES. I managed to recognize that early, recognize my bias early, and I was trading CL as a result. But this is one of the things that also I kind of deal with here and there is that anchoring bias, right? The runaway bull days or those runaway bear days where, you know, every time the market makes a new higher, a new low, and then starts to slow down, you immediately start to think, all right, now it's finally going to dump or now it's finally going to rip. And you either trade what you want to happen, which is for the market to do what you think it should, or, you know, you trade what you're actually seeing. And so anchoring bias is important in the sense that we often anchor to what we kind of see or what we're expecting based on what's happened, right? Based on context. So another good example, today's session, all right? Today's session, where did the ES open up? The ES had a pretty decent little sell-off off the open. Yeah, and
83 quarter on the open, I think. Quarter,
and it came into prior day lows, which were, I want to say like 66s or something like that.
Yeah.
Just above 68s or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and so initially seeing the aggressive selling off of the open, one might be anchored to take short positions because what I've seen so far is selling pressure. So I'm going to join that selling pressure. However, what actually happened was we got to a certain level. And again, this is a power of order flow. You know, we're looking at the tape and you're seeing a whole bunch of selling hitting the book. I remember this was at the 70s, at the 4170s. And whole bunch of selling hitting the book, whole bunch of selling hitting the book, the market can't go lower.
Yeah.
All right. If you're anchored to that early selling pressure, you've seen that the market sold off, you're likely going to want to be going short, and you're likely going to convince yourself that because the market's already been going down, it's got to continue to do so, and you want to be part of it, right? Whereas if you're looking at what's actually happening, you know, removing that bias again, that's your ego getting in because you've seen the market go down. Now you want to join that for the next run. Instead, what you do is you focus on what's actually happening, all right? And what was happening was that sellers were hitting the book and they couldn't get it to go lower. So where's the edge at that point? Probably in the other direction,
yep.
Right? If there is a whole bunch of selling after an already pretty aggressive sell-off and the market can't go lower, you know, where is it going to go next? And these are the things that order flow allows you to get insights into. You know, it'd be quite difficult catching these similar styles of trades, really utilizing anything other than order flow.
Yeah, right? Cause
because at the end of the day, it's the rawest form of data and it allows you to be objective, right? Like Georgie said, it's a numbers thing, right? Order flow is just data. It's just data coming through. And there's not really much, I guess, subjectivity. Is that the right word?
Yeah, it is. It's not subjective, right? It's objective.
Exactly. It's not subjective in the sense that it's not, oh, I don't know if there's, you know, maybe these sellers are done. There's a whole bunch of orders in the book on the bid, hitting the bid. These are committed traders. If you're seeing it on order flow, that means that these are traders that are in the market at this time.
Yeah, right? It's not a suspicion. It is happening.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's effectively trading what you see. The market comes down, it can't go lower. Buyers start showing up. You're seeing buying imbalances showing up above the sellers. Guess what? The opportunity here is to the upside. And that's what we did today.
And we bought that low pretty much and rode it up for the reversal. Can I explain this, Marky, with a fun exercise?
I would love that.
You want to do a little exercise? Okay, so this is what's required of this exercise, Marky. You say sell and come up with a quantity, like sell 300 lots, sell 100 lots, and then say it five times. And you guys listen to this exercise.
So different lot numbers?
Yeah, just come up with different lots and just sell five times of different lots. Okay. Now, as you guys listen to this exercise, remember this. This is what's happening in the market in real time. And people think when there's heavy selling, it means that they should short and end up getting trapped at the low. Now, listen to this exercise. This is something that was introduced to me by a guy named AJ Monty long time ago, and it stuck with me to this day. And through this lens, you'll never see the market the same again. Ready, Marky? So five times, and give me a chance to respond too. So say the sell, and then...
All right. Sell 500.
I'll take it.
Sell 200.
Take it.
Sell 300.
Take it.
Sell 400.
Take it.
Sell 300.
Take it.
Sell 200.
Take it.
Sell 3.
Take it.
Sell 15.
Take it.
Sell 100.
Take it.
Sell 130.
Take it.
Sell 190,000.
I'll take it. I'm long.
Sell 150.
I'll take it. Sell 200. How much do you have to sell, Mark?
All of it. Sell it all. All sell right. it all.
I'll take it. I'll take it. There's going to come a moment when Mark, if you had, how many lots you sell there? You didn't keep track.
A lot.
But there's going to come a point, Marky, when what are you going to do?
Buy.
You're going to just be quiet, right? You're going to be like, I'll sell this. I'll just sell this many. So let's do it two more times and then stop because you're out of things to sell.
Sell 450.
I'll take it.
Sell 230.
I'll take it.
Sell 100.
I'll take it. Nothing for sale. Now you sold the low. This guy's just dumped 100,000 contracts. I was trying to keep track of it. I couldn't. All right. Where's the sellers? Listen. Silence. What happens? If you're short 100,000, you're like, it's not going down anymore. What are you going to start doing? Oh my God, I'm going to start covering the trade. I'm going to start buying back. Oh my God, it's not going down. I'm going to start buying. I'm buying. I'm buying. And on top of that, people who are waiting to buy are like, okay, the seller just blew their load. Literally, they blew the load of the quantity they want to sell. Take that how you will. If you guys got a dirty mind, you probably never listen to this podcast again. But you sold all your load. Now you got nothing left. Now everyone starts saying, buy, 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 buy. And the market rips up. That moment when Mark just went quiet because he had no more to sell, that's the moment that we saw on the chart this morning. Huge selling on that freaking low tick. It's just dumping. It's reloading. Sell, sell, sell. It's trying to hit. It is hitting the bid, and it isn't going lower. And there came a moment when things just got quiet. And that's Mark and I see that same trade. That's how I was able to catch a close to the low tick. Somebody just got trapped at the low on some really big size. That person isn't going to get away with it. Everyone wants to be a bigger trader. The bigger contracts you trade, the harder it is. Because you start to, by the time you get filled, you start to influence the market at a certain point. So always remember that exercise. Heavy selling without price moving down is that quiet moment that Mark had. He's done. He's all out.
Yeah.
Now here comes the savages looking to buy back up, including him. He's going to be the first person looking to buy it when the price can't go down because he just sold a ton. He's like, uh-oh, I'm either extremely short or I'm out of my long. If the market's going to go up, you're wrong whether you're out of your short you're wrong whether you're in a big short or if you just closed out your long trade. If the market's going up, you're losing one way or another, either profit or opportunity. So I think that exercise to me sticks in my head to this day. Shout out to AJ Monty. He got 150 people to do it. And you can imagine how it's more effective that way. Thank you, Marky, for doing this unscripted little game.
Thank you, guys. Hopefully you enjoyed that little exercise. And so now, you know, we've kind of discussed some of the psychological biases that can affect why you kind of were hardwired to make assumptions and how that relates back to the trading. Now, as we do, we'll give you guys a couple of tips on how you can start to trade based on what you see instead of what you think. So number one, I really like this one, and this is something that I've implemented in my strategy. You might have heard this, you know, several times across different episodes. You know, next time you're about to take a trade, pause, ask yourself, do I have an edge or is this something I want to happen?
What a good question.
I can't tell you how many times I've prevented myself from emotional trading based on what I want to happen by asking myself this simple question. You know, sometimes you might miss an entry as a result, but over the long term, you're going to find yourself in a better position where instead of, you know, catching those entries that are here and there going to make you a couple of dollars, the payoff really is that you're going to be disqualifying a lot of the trades that are going to end up costing you money. And from the perspective of a professional trader, where the focus is on risk management, not on making profits, you know, I'll focus on managing that risk all day.
Love it, Marky. That is such a good question. No better way to get better results than catching yourself before losing trade and eliminating that loss.
Exactly.
That's going to have dramatic impact on your P&L. Can I do number two?
Of course.
Wait for confirmation. Many traders jump into the markets in anticipation of a move that just might not materialize. If you wait for a market to break above resistance to buy, it'll give you a higher probability than getting long below resistance, hoping for a breakout. There's that word hope again. A lot of traders love to do this. You know, they say, if it goes above here, the market's going to rip. And then before it gets above there, they're long.
Yep.
Right? So you need to have if and then scenarios. If it crosses this level, there's going to be a big move. Why is there a big move? Because a big resistance means there's a lot of open short positions above which there's stop losses. Really, when you're catching moves in the market, you're just riding someone's stop. That's what order flow is. That's what causes markets to move. If you wait for confirmation, you're going to avoid the losing trades. This is a recurring theme in this podcast. If you wait for the confirmation, you're going to avoid the trades that you normally lose. Not all of them, most of them. And that's going to give you a better P&L. You're going to actually have less trades because some of them are disappearing, but your profit will be better. And you know, here's a misconception. You're not getting paid to trade. You're getting paid to take the right trade. Huge difference. Confirmation is oftentimes a difference maker between a trade that goes green and one that gets stopped out. Here's the dangerous thing about not getting confirmation, because this happens to me, Marky. I'll get in a little bit early. I'll wait for the confirmation. But you know what? I'm going to front run this, get long, because it's probably going to pop. By the time it confirms, it'll be too late. I'll get stopped out on the long trade without the confirmation. And then what happens? Rips right back up, mm-hmm. right? The confirmation comes. Everything I was looking for sets up. And now that was the trade I should have taken. Many times where I've thought I could front run the confirmation, I was wrong and I've lost that trade only to pick it up long again. And it works the second time because there's confirmation. But now I'm not just making money on the trade. I'm making losses from the prior one that I didn't confirm. So confirmation is king. You know, wait for your trade to confirm. Don't anticipate the level will break. Wait until it breaks and then trade it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a point I want to bring up with this one in particular, because, you know, we often get this question asked in the room, you know, in the trading room. It's like, all right, guys, we're looking for longs above, let's call it overnight highs. The market gets within, you know, 2-3 points of those overnight highs. And then we have some members asking, you know, why aren't you guys considering longs here if you're anticipating the breakout? Right. And the reason why is because the breakout is what you want to happen. Right. The breakout is what you want to happen.
So simple, but so true.
I know. And it's difficult. I can see it from the point of view of, you know, the newer trader. You're excited. You know, you might have learned a new strategy. You want to start, you know, putting money on the table and making money at the end of the day. Whereas the reality of it is, you know, kind of what Georgie mentioned here, that confirmation. It's not as sexy to buy it, you know, 3 or 4 points higher than it is to catch it on the low tick and, you know, catch that breakout move. But sexy doesn't pay the bills. All right.
Not unless you're modeling, then you
better. I was going to say in some industries it might,
but not
in this one. All right. Sexy does not pay the bills in trading. You know, the low ticks, if you're trying to catch the low ticks before the breakout, you got to be used or almost expecting to get stopped on a majority of those positions. Right? Because it's lower probability. Trying to anticipate something to happen is never going to give you the same probabilities as seeing it happen. And like I said, while it's not as sexy to buy at 4 points higher, imagine the probabilities, you know, below the resistance being something like 40%, and 4 points higher if it breaks above the resistance and then pulls back. Now the probability of a continuation might be up to say 60%. Right. If I were just to give you those probabilities and say you have a 40% chance of making money down here and a 60% chance of making money if it's up here, which one are you likely to take? All right.
Rhetorical question.
Rhetorical question. Exactly. Rhetorical question number one. And, you know, you don't even have to see what's happening on the chart. You're not even going to think about that. All right. You're not even going to think about that. So why during the markets are you trying to get that? It's because that's what you want to happen, not what's actually happening.
Love it. Like, do you want to be sexy or do you want to get paid?
Both in an ideal world, but in trading.
Yeah, neither. You know, it's one or the other. Can I tell you a quick story? Borderline appropriate. Borderline inappropriate. So when I was younger, in my teenagers, I worked out a ton. Like, I was on a cutting cycle, bulking cycle. You know, at one point, I was in the best shape of my life. And I remember going to the bar, you know, in the parking lot. And obviously, I saw a girl that I liked, so I wanted to approach her. and this guy shows up 400 pounds. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but clearly doesn't work on his physique as much as I did, and just swooped her away. And it's like, hey, you know what, man? It's like, you want to be sexier or do you want to get paid? At the end of the day, you know, 400 pounds and a nice Benz beats your, at the time I was eating like freaking salads, cut out all carbs. I felt miserable as it is. Kind of a graphic, almost inappropriate analogy, but that stuck in my mind. You know, that stuck in my mind. It's like, there's a balance between this, and trying to look a certain way comes at a cost. And so in the market, remember that sexy doesn't pay. You know, one of those, when you show that, like, hey, look, I caught this on a low tick and I rode it to the very top tick of this whole move. The only place you see that is in the YouTube videos, in the courses that people put together, you know, because for demonstration, that's beautiful, but that's not reality. And that's not how TradePro works. Everything in our courses is reality. We always say, hey, it could work, it could not. Your job isn't to figure that out. Your job is to keep watching real-time data. That's where the money's at.
Exactly.
Little sidetrack. Sorry, Marky, but
no, that was perfect. So a third trick or tactic you guys can use is one we provide. It's a checklist.
All right. Checklist.
A trading checklist. All right. And the reason for this being, you know, you're trading what you see, not what you want to happen. If you kind of think about professions that use checklists. All right. That's really the one that I was kind of leaning towards is a pilot. All right. You have a pilot that's got a checklist. Pilots got a pre-flight checklist. I'm sure they've got an in-flight checklist. I'm sure they've got checklists for any and all kinds of scenarios. You know, if shit goes wrong, excuse my French, you know, if there's an engine failure, there's a checklist for that. If there is this kind of failure, you know, landing gear failure, I'm sure there's a checklist for that.
100%.
At no point in time is the pilot making an emotional decision. All right. All of that is done objectively. And there's a reason for that. All right.
Yeah.
It's because you're doing what you should be doing, not what you want to happen. All right. And trading is no different. You need a trading checklist, especially if you're a newer trader, because it's going to help keep your trading decisions objective and make sure that those trades are well qualified. You know, we mentioned, what was it, the first trick. Ask yourself, do I have an edge or is this something I want to happen? That's something you can incorporate in your checklist. All right. Have your set of qualifiers with that last, you know, that last little checklist category being, do I have an edge or is this something I want to happen? If you've got the edge, you check that off. You got a qualified trade right there.
And that pilot analogy, Marky, extends a bit further, right? Because pilots do have emergency procedures. But here's the crazy part, that the procedures are oftentimes set by the airline. Different airlines will have different procedures for what you should do first. You have to follow that checklist. If you don't follow the checklist and you get the plane on the ground, 400 people are going to be happy that you got them safely, but you're still going to get in crap because you didn't follow the list. And this is a great analogy. The airlines are trading plan. In the real time, you're not out here creating new processes. That's not the time to do. You're going to get slaughtered. You're going to crash. It's your life on the line. You're out here following the process and executing it as fast and efficiently as you can. And then when you put the plane on the ground, you could go to your airline, like, listen, guys, we could have done this better. That's when you improve the process. Get the plane on the ground, follow the checklist. In the real time is not the time to be questioning your process. It's time to be executing it. That's the difference between a pro trader. This is why pilots make great traders. They're really good at following a lot of information and knowing what information is important when, and very good at acting on it as quickly as possible. It's like, now, we have a lot of pilots in our community. You know, thank God you're not flying a plane, because what's the worst that could happen? Lose money? I'd lose all the money I have and then some, and all the debt I could accumulate to save my life.
Now, this next one, we kind of, Georgie briefly touched on it, but it's so important. We're going to cover it again. And that is using if-then scenarios. All right. And regardless of what you call it, if-then scenarios, next best trades, at the end of the day, the concept is the same thing, right? You plan for different types of scenarios happening so that regardless of what the market does, you've got a plan in place. You're not doing anything emotionally. You're not doing anything based on what you think should happen. You've already got predefined levels, predefined scenarios, and you know what you're going to be doing in the event one of those scenarios happens. The great thing about it is, you know, oftentimes, if you've got if-then scenarios for long positions, you can further split this into two categories. You can have if-then scenarios for longs, if-then scenarios for shorts, and then you can have a no-go zone, mm-hmm. right? So oftentimes what we'll do, you know, in our pre-market routines, morning routines, is we'll identify levels at which we're interested in trading. And we'll say, if the market gets above this level and pulls back, we'll be looking to qualify a long trade. If it gets to this level and fails to get above it, and we see selling pressure coming in, for example, then there's a potential shorting opportunity. And same thing to the downside. You know, if there's a large support level below, you got a potential long opportunity. If the market gets there, fails to go any lower like it did today, or you've got a potential trading opportunity if the market gets to that zone and breaks through it, at which point you can look for pullbacks to short into. The beauty of this is, you know, it kind of brings me to that quote from Bruce Lee, you know, be like water.
Yeah.
Be like water. Right? Fluid. Fluid, exactly. When you have if-then scenarios planned, you know, when before the market opens up, you're just reacting to what you see. All right. There's no, if this happens, then, well, I mean, that's exactly what you're doing, but there's no emotional or subjectivity behind it. It's all objective. It's all based on the plan. And if you can make those plans, those if-then scenarios, execute on those, and then review back at the end of the session and see that, you know, I only executed trades where I had my if-then scenarios, you'll note that your experience trading is going to be a lot different. Because there's really few things that can happen there. And this is going to be another episode in and of itself. But there's really four outcomes for a day, right? You either get a big win, a big loss, a small win, or a small loss. And really the goal here is to eliminate the big losses. It's okay to have small wins. It's okay to have small losses. It's great to have big wins, but it's not a good thing to have big losses. All right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make a completely separate episode on that topic, but as it relates to this one, if you follow those if-then scenarios, really only one of those, ideally only three of those four things can happen if you follow the plan.
I love it. I only have one thing to add. It's going to be short. I know nobody believes me as I say that, but it's this. If you don't have if-then scenarios, you don't have a plan. It's as simple as that. You're trading on emotion, bias, and opinion. The only time you're going to make money is when you're right. No if-thens, no plan. All right? And you need a trading plan. And the last one is trusting your analysis and your process. Don't listen to other people's opinion or trades. They may have a bias of their own. This is why trading signals do not work. They may work for the person, but they will not work for you. All right. At the end of the day, it's your analysis. It's your career. Even if you found a trading signal service that generated you $1 million a month and you had to do nothing but just copy their trades, you know what's going to happen? You're going to make $1 million a month. You're going to spend $1 million a month and you're going to have absolutely no confidence. And that signal guy says, hey, you know what? I'm retiring. Now what? So at the end of the day, your analysis supersedes anything else and any input from anyone else. In proprietary firms, guys share ideas and analysis, but nobody ever wants to know where somebody has a position open. I'll give you an example. Along the S&P, there's a bond trader next to my workstation. If the bond trader says, oh man, these bonds are just skyrocketing, you know, I'm like, why do you think they're skyrocketing? Oh, well, you know, it's the Fed, blah, 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 this and that. And I'm long S&P, the trade might dump. I don't really care if he's long or short. I care that what he's seeing is going counter to my trade. So now I'm going to think about it and take action. Like, don't outsource the execution. That's the mistake a lot of people make. Don't look for other people's trades. Outsource the analysis. Collaborate on analysis. Collaborate on tools, opinions, you know, feedback. But never, ever, ever, ever outsource the freaking execution. That's your job. You know, you can't outsource what you're going to do to make money. Your analysis supersedes anything, and so does your plan. And just remember that. It's end of the day, if your plan sucks, it's better to trade a crappy plan with losses consistently than keep changing it every day. Because when you have a lot of losses, you at least have some information that you could improve your plan on. When you're scatterbrained all over the place, what are you going to improve? You don't even know what you're doing. So loss of capital. So I have a formula, process greater than profits. It hangs on my trading monitor at home, and I should hang one here in the office because I'm here more often before COVID, not now.
Exactly. And just on that point of trusting your analysis and your process, you know, it's quite common for newer traders, and I remember this from my own experience, where you get into a trade, like Georgie says, you almost try to outsource the execution, right? I was there at one point in my journey where I would put on a trade, and then back when I was trading stocks and stuff, I'd put on a trade in a certain name. Then I'd jump on Twitter. put in that ticker symbol, and look for reasons why I should stay in the trade. You know what I mean?
Confirmation bias.
Exactly. Confirmation bias. I'm in there on Twitter, and it has nothing to do with my analysis, with my process. It's I'm in this trade. Now I got to find reasons why I should hold on to the trade by effectively outsourcing the execution, right? If I go on there and the majority of tweets are negative, I'm probably going to dump that position real quick. But that has nothing to do with your analysis, with your process. You're just outsourcing that decision.
If anything, when I'm in a position, I seek the counter opinion. You know, show me something I'm missing. Hey, maybe I've gotten this completely wrong and I can get myself out. A lot of people ask me, I mean, I'm not bigging myself up here, but a lot of people say that they're impressed by how much size I could trade in and out quickly and on the fly. It's because I trust my real-time analysis. I trust that if something turns against my position, I'm not going to hope I'm going to follow the plan and exit, and I have multiple opportunities to do so within a day. That's what it comes from, process over profit. That's all I had, Marky. Really fun recording this episode with you.
And you as well. That's all we got for today, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you guys for taking the time to listen. As always, if you guys find this message particularly useful in your journey and you think somebody else on their trading journey might also find value in it, please, please feel free to use social media and share it with them. Also, if you guys are enjoying this podcast, enjoying this new format, do let us know. Let us leave us a review and a rating on iTunes. Until next time, everyone, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.